B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walt it, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Let's play ball, it's game day. We want strikeouts, base hits, double plays. Take the field, hear the roar of the crowd. Come on, Marlins, make us proud. Come on, Marlins, make us proud. Keep hoping and dreaming and you will soar. With a little faith and love, you will soar. One strike, two strikes, swing away. A diving catch, a stolen base.
Things that baseball players do. Hitting a home run to you.
Oh, Scott Stapp of Creed. If there's anybody that I knew that could get us in the mood for baseball, it would be him. So much faith, hope, and love right there in the old baseball diamond. And one of the most butt-rockiest baseball anthems of all time. It's really the new center field, to be quite honest. Who hasn't been at a ballpark and not heard that cranked right around the 7th or 8th inning? Right. Just replace, you know what, just replace Sweet Caroline with a little butt rock ode to the old baseball diamond from Mr. Scott Stapp.
Think Fogarty's pissed? Probably not.
Oh, probably not. So Fogarty, like, so what was the deal? He just did something recently, like he performed center field for the first time in center field. It was like one of the most ridiculous stories. Like, hey, Fogarty finally got to play center field at center field. I'm like, in front of nobody because there was no season. Why is this a story?
Yeah.
But either way, baseball is finally back, and we will get into all of that, I'm sure, in just the next couple of moments. And so it's going to be a Dan Roach on.
Dave, it's a stupid light out here.
Uh-huh.
They're doing work on the building, the
next door.
Globe building.
Yeah.
So the light out by the Globe building is a it's an odd light in that it stays red for about 20 minutes and then it goes green for about 1 minute.
Yes. The one next to UMass Boston.
Go take a gander out the window and see what's
going
on.
There's more traffic now at 6 o'clock than there is for the entire morning. Like all those trucks that. But also, Fred, I think that they're trying to get into a parking lot now.
Oh yeah.
But,
wow. Oh yeah, it's a whole situation.
Yeah, it is a whole situation.
Wow.
There's now temperature checks though too.
Oh great!
That's what's stopping them from moving. Like,
it is just awesome.
The backup of like 25 cars there.
Yeah, I like sitting there for 15 minutes and watching the light. That light is the dumbest light. And by the way, BC High's not in, and UMass
Lowell's
isn't in.
Not in. Nope.
So Mass Lowell,
UMass Boston, sorry,
is not in. So that light is just. It should be just green. All the time. It should just be green. It's green for a second. Look at that traffic.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's insane.
Yeah. At 5:55 in the morning.
Because all the workers park in this parking lot and wait until, like, they get here at 10 till, and then they wait, and then they, in mass, leave and come here and go
that's true.
Down the street.
It's a jailbreak at like 3 minutes of six to get into the parking lot.
My
that's true.
God.
Yeah.
So, Dan, you're saying they do temperature checks while people are sitting in the car?
So I think in order to get into that parking lot for that construction site, you either have to there's a guard shack, Rich, of some sort, or a gate that doesn't open until, I think, 6 o'clock. And that's what's creating this logjam on Morrissey Boulevard of all these guys that get here early. So what they do is they get here early, they pull into our parking lot or the abandoned lot next door, and then when it's time to go, they all go at the same time. Yeah. They clog the road, and I think they either have to show ID or sign in. There's something going on at that guard shack that allows them to get in.
Guard shack!
Someone told me that they're doing temperature checks as well.
Yeah, even before this whole coronavirus stuff started, I would pull into our parking lot, and there would be a bunch of dudes sleeping in cars in our parking lot, just getting ready for, I don't know, I don't know why they were there so early, but well,
Bombing down from New Hampshire in their trucks to get here early to beat that traffic that's out on the highway now, or was. That's when you used to be here, Rich, so. Million years ago, but that's what used to happen.
I know. They would drive down, and they would just say, you know what, I'm going to get an extra hour and a half worth of sleep, and they would go to the parking lot and just fall asleep, set their alarm, and then boom. Go right next door. But that was, yeah, you're right. I mean, it was basically like a camping ground. There'd be seven or eight cars of guys just sleeping in the back.
Then it turns into a jailbreak. Then everybody goes at once.
Yep. Yeah, they sure do.
That light dumb is, that fishing is... mask, because I lost all my masks. So I...
Oh.
Yeah, like when you flatfish and you got to wear a thing because of the sun. And then so I got this thing that you put around your neck. And then you're supposed to put it over your face when you fish. And... that's a pain in the ass. Stupid mask.
It's like a scarf that lifts up over your nose, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've had it forever because I've lost every mask that I've had because I'm not used to, you know, carrying around a mask.
It's like a mock turtleneck.
Yeah.
I mean, not a mock turtleneck. A mock turtleneck would be, that's a horrible analogy. It would be a very big turtleneck. Come on, you're better than that.
Have you seen those ones that are like that, that people have made pictures of their own mouths? So when it's lifted up, it's supposed to look like they're not wearing a mask at all.
No, but
in
really
reality,
funny.
It looks like the bottom of their face is warped. Wow. Because it's always like wrinkled and it's actually fairly terrifying, this thing.
I've only seen the cool masks that they gave us here with the station logos on them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which was a really good... way to spend money that they took from us.
So, Fred, you were sitting out there for what, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
So close and yet so far.
I called Dan. I said, look out the window.
Yeah.
I'm there. Mm-hmm. I'm here, essentially. It doesn't count as being late.
Not your fault.
No. Maybe... they can dock me vacation for that, too.
Hmm.
Like they did for no reason.
A little bit of tension here in the room this morning.
Not Rich. Tension. I'm just...
A little tension.
No.
Well, the anger is still kind of in the air. You haven't kind of gotten rid of that yet. And no, I would feel the same way.
When you get here and you're at work and then for 15 minutes you have to sit right in front of the building.
It's
frustrating
as hell.
It is a little frustrating. Yeah. I will not lie to you. It's a little frustrating. I will tell you that. It is something that makes you go, this sucks.
Yeah.
I think that the traffic, you're talking about how UMass isn't in as well. Didn't they just announce that they're going to go virtual this fall? Like, I believe that UMass just made the announcement that they're not going to
have students
there.
Made that announcement yesterday, Rich,
Yeah.
So guess what I wouldn't be doing is paying. I've talked to my wife. If my kids were in college and they said they were going virtual, I'd pull my money. I wouldn't send them to college virtually.
You know what's weird is that I'm hearing that some of the colleges are actually having an increase in students because there's a lot of guys who will go out and, you know, they'll take a quarter or a semester off and try to work or, you know, do it. But there's no jobs for them right now. So they're like, well, if I can't work, then I'm just going to go ahead and go to school, whether it be virtually or not. So I've heard that in some schools in Massachusetts that their enrollment is up, which is strange.
A lot of financial aid, I would assume. Because if you're not working, then paying for college is problematic.
The point of college, first of all, you don't learn anything in college unless you're trying to get a graduate degree. So college is pointless. It's a halfway house. Like the whole point of college, in my opinion, is living at it. And if you can't do that, then I'm not sending my kid to college. I would pull him out. Say do something else.
And what are they going to do? Because there's no jobs. See, that's the thing, is that it's the strange puzzle you've got to work out.
They could find a job. I mean, they're not. They wouldn't be trying to earn much. I mean, they could find something. I wouldn't pull them. I'd pull them out, and I'd have them sit home. I'm not paying. Then I save money. I wouldn't send a kid to college that you just are on the computer like an idiot. Especially with college is $60,000, what, to sit home and do it on the internet? No
there
way.
There should be a discount. They should offer a discount.
Yeah, if the room and board gets taken out of that. I don't
well,
know.
Well, I'm glad they canceled school. That's a good move. Especially in June. That's a nice thing to do, to screw all the kids like that. So God bless them. I would pull my kid out of school so fast your head would spin. What's the point? What's the point of having professors? What's the point of going to school? Then everything's the University of Phoenix? I mean, everything's like some garbage school that they advertise on TV? No. Why? I mean,
College degree isn't worth what it used to be?
No, shut up, John. If your kid said, I'm going to the University of Phoenix, what would you say?
I'd say stay home and get a job.
Yes. So you would say, this is insane. I'm not doing this. And so, if I'm paying $60,000, it's $65,000, which is what school apparently costs now, and they can't live there, or they can't be in class and matriculate with other students. No, I'm not giving them anything. So good for UMass. In the rare instance that they would have a lawsuit against them, it's good that they've taken that away.
I wonder if it's because there's a decent amount of instructors that, like, enough that they wouldn't be able to have enough of a staff to teach all of the students. Because, I mean, a lot of these schools have older professors, and I wonder if maybe it was just a matter of numbers. And they're like, all right, well, 45% of our teachers don't feel comfortable coming back. So I wonder if that's the case. Like, well, we just can't afford to bring them in then.
No.
No?
No, that's not it.
Because Mary's had to fill out all of these different... She's an instructor at one of the colleges, and she's had to fill out all these different forms and be on a ton of, like, virtual meetings where, you know, there's a lot of teachers who are really concerned, and a lot of them are older. I mean, these people who have been teaching, especially, you know, when you're in Massachusetts, there's a decent amount of older teachers who've been doing it forever. And I'm wondering if it just comes down to numbers, that they don't have enough teachers who are comfortable enough to teach them.
Rich, in all honesty, I think just because UMass Boston is such a commuter school, the majority of the people that go there, you know, commute. They don't live on campus.
Well, when they do, they live in apartments that end up having massive problems.
That's right. I remember that. Nothing works.
Getting trapped in elevators.
The elevators
and
are stuck.
Like that.
Yeah.
Doors won't open.
That's right.
So the majority of them work, and that probably it's with the trains and the schedule and trying to just keep the numbers of people that
so
are.
So UMass Amherst is they're doing that.
The other UMass campuses will be on campus.
Well, good. That makes sense.
Yeah, something. The percentage of people that go to UMass Boston that are commuters is somewhere. It's really high.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be like 95%.
80-90%.
Yeah. All right. So if I shelled out for the UMass Amherst.
Easy. Yeah, because I went to UMass Boston.
You went there?
Yeah, I'm a proud graduate there, yeah. I know this area well, Fred.
Did you live in Dorchester?
I know where the lounge I did for a little while, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Look at that, back when it was...
With the Wahlbergs, it was the streets.
That's right, you were on the street just like the Wahlbergs, that's right. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Baseball, officially back. Dates on calendars. And there are some strange rules and things that go along with it. We will get to all that.
All right, we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Kutcher and Rich.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
I am rather confused. Kutcher and Rich. What the hell is going on?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Kutcher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub with Kutcher and Rich. And Rich,
if I may be so bold, it's time to play ball.
Take me out to the ball game.
No, Dan. Officially. It's not a tease this time. Baseball is back, Dan. Cheer up, big guy. Dates on calendars. Woody and Buzz. Turn that frown upside down. It's a small world after all.
I'll tell you.
Camps start July 1st. Season starts July 24th and ends September 27th. And the Players Association finally said, okay, owners, we'll take whatever you're giving. 60 games over approximately 66 days. It will largely feature divisional play, with the remaining portion of each team's games played against the other league's corresponding geographical division. For example, AL East versus NL East, Central versus Central, etc. So spring training will be at home parks, and the Sox be reporting to Fenway next week. Now, once the season begins, teams will be allowed to carry 30 players on their active roster. That number will drop 28 after 2 weeks and then 26 after 4 weeks. And it's official, Fred. We have a universal DH.
I hate it. I hate it.
Don't you kind of want to see how it goes?
No.
I know how it goes. Figure this out?
No, I know how it goes. Okay. It's the American League, which I can't stand. So, yeah. It's so funny to me that people want to speed the people. Baseball critics are hysterical. They want the game to be faster, but pitchers put the ball in play. I mean, if you the way to make baseball more interesting is not to have a million home runs, if I'm not mistaken, it's to have the ball in play. Then you can see people making great catches. You can see, you know, players in it, when pitchers bunt, you can see a third baseman barehand a ball and chuck it over to first, and you go,
see, I wouldn't mind a million home runs. I think that watching that Sosa, but you're not a
you don't watch enough baseball to it. I mean, you like home runs, but you want to see the ball in play.
I understand your point of view, Fred, but as a guy who grew up watching American League baseball, I watch National League games, and I think, okay, you know, the seven hitter got on base, so let's pitch around the eight hitter with two outs and go pitch to the pitcher to get the automatic out.
But then you
not all pitchers are able to put the ball in play.
Well, that's a dangerous game because I don't know if I want to pitch around the eighth hitter because do I want the pitcher to lead off the next inning?
It depends on what the score is, but I guess my point is you have basically an automatic out in the order.
Not if you're Adam Wainwright, but what I just told you. Is why it's more interesting, is because do I pitch to the eighth hitter? What do I want the pitcher to lead off the next inning? That's right there. Right there you proved my point. There's actual strategy involved.
Well, I guess I grew up in the era of no strategy. I have no trouble with extra home runs and there being seven to three instead of 3-2.
Okay, so do you want the game to move faster?
I would like the game not to be 4 hours. That's true.
Okay, so does the DH add to the game being
shorter?
Sure,
because you have more runners on base, more pitches thrown to the DH as opposed to a pitcher who sees a maximum of two or three.
What kind of athletic ability does a DH have to have?
Usually none.
Yeah.
Usually
big
none. David Ortiz, perfect example.
You like Steve Balboni?
Bye-bye, yes.
You like Steve Balboni?
He was more first baseman than a DH.
Oh,
but Balboni
beat DH like there was no tomorrow, and then he let himself go.
Well, I think he came into the league like that.
I think he certainly didn't improve his health.
Yeah.
So, yes, home runs are not interesting to me. The ball in play is interesting to me, and I hate the DH. I absolutely despise it.
Yep.
And people that want the games to move along, I don't understand why you want a DH. It makes the games longer, and so you can have an out of shape guy who can't even run to first.
Mm-hmm.
David Ortiz.
Well, if you hit the ball 420, you don't have to run very fast. You can just jog around the bases.
No, but I would like it if you could, if pressed, I don't know, play baseball.
Also, Fred, explain this to me, because the justification for them doing this is to keep pitchers healthy, but this is a short season.
Right.
Do you think if there's any reason not to have it, this would be it?
Yep.
I don't understand their justification. Now, don't get me wrong. I do like this because I like anything that shakes it up a little bit just to see how it goes. But their justification seems odd, and maybe you can explain that part of it to me.
I can't explain it.
Okay.
I don't know how having pitchers hit is – I mean, you don't have to do anything over the – And plus, you're only hitting every fifth day. That's the thing.
It's only 60 games, so I don't know why this is, again, of all the times to do it. Like, if you wanted to start at the beginning of a full season, I would understand that.
I think they're doing it because it appeases the players, because it adds another
It's a small give back to the union. It doesn't cost anything.
Right. It's so,
so they were clamoring for this.
I think the players would prefer to have a DH.
And I would say it sets the players up for a bargaining session in a year and a half, saying, "Okay, you know, the universal DH worked well here. Let's add that to the next labor agreement and create some more jobs for us."
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
To which I would say that's. Listen, I'm all for shaking the game up. I'm all for making it faster, but you're making it 10 times slower.
Well, one thing that will legitimately make it faster is that on top of the DH in both sides of the coin, if a team gets to extra innings, a base runner will be placed on second at the start of every half inning in order to hopefully cut down the amount of games extending by an hour or more, which we've seen plenty of lately. That will definitely speed things up. So,
speeding up extra innings, which is not the issue. But,
we made this comparison earlier this week. It's kind of like 3-on-3 in overtime in hockey during the regular season. It's anything to avoid getting to a shootout, and this is anything to avoid getting to a 15 or 16 inning game in baseball.
I can understand why they're doing it this year. I mean, once you're in extra innings, it doesn't, from a fan's perspective, I mean, it's just giving the players a break. I mean, from a fan's perspective, if it's an extra innings, I'm interested in it. I mean, I don't need a runner on second, but I guess from a player's perspective, they're exceptionally lazy. From a player's perspective, I guess it would be nice. I don't have to play as long.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the main thing. Is that you know what? They just wanted to also make it look like we're doing everything we can to get you in and out of there,
right?
You know, so the less chance someone gets sick,
right?
So I mean, you know, and you've seen all of these things they've thrown in there, like no spitting. I don't know how that's going to be.
It's not going to.
I think that's just something they put in there because they legally probably felt they had to put that in there.
Well,
we're getting a trade deadline.
By the way, you can't have the seeds.
Yep.
Yeah,
which I enjoy. When I'm coaching the kids, you know what I do is I take dip, seeds, and gum, Francona style.
That's pretty good.
Just put all three together.
He used to do that. That was beyond disgusting.
Yeah, Francona. Really I don't do that. But Francona used to take the chaw, not a dip, but like that chaw,
and wrap the gum around it lengthwise. Oh, it was awful.
Is chaw the diced up one or is it the leaves?
It's like the leaves.
Those are gross, man.
Like that no one chews.
Right. Yeah,
if you go to like the gas station, it's probably been there since the 80s.
Oh. Sure. It's just been sitting back there all molding.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't know if I know anyone who does the leaves.
I knew a dude who did it, and he looked like a guy that did the leaves. He was a guy who wore the same, like, kind of, it wasn't a trench coat, but it was like one of those between a regular jacket and a trench coat, and he smelled like 20 years of smoke that was stuck. He smoked and dipped, and he wore like one of those, like, not a cowboy hat. What do you call the hat that's not quite a cowboy hat, but it's got the full brim around the entire thing? It's not a fedora either, because that kind of bends.
The Brett Michaels?
It's like a flat brim, almost like he was a guy giving you the Jungle Cruise, you know?
Like the Greg Norman.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Greg Norman hat this guy would wear. He's a creepy dude who used to run the rehearsal space where my band used to practice, and that guy loved him some chaw. If that's what chaw is, if it's the stuff with the leaves, and they always have like a leaf like hanging out of their mouth too, like you can see the stem.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just gross stuff. I don't know how anyone would smoke that stuff or chew that stuff.
No, I don't. Yeah, I've done it before, but it's terribly unappealing. It doesn't taste good. The texture of it is awful. You never put the chaw in?
Never dipped, no.
You've never dipped? Have you ever smoked a cigarette?
No. Cigars, yes. Cigarette, no.
You've never had a cigarette in your entire life?
I have not.
Well, if you smoked a cigar, then it's, you know, cigarettes, nothing. But a cigar, I mean, you know.
But you don't inhale a cigar.
No.
Unless you're me. And forget that you're smoking a cigar. So, yeah, that's never a cigarette. You were never tempted.
Nope.
Don't do any.
Both my parents smoked, too.
Don't dip. Dip's like, there's nothing good about dipping. Nothing.
Except it makes you feel like you're high.
Well, but it's not a good kind of high. It's like I'm going to fall over and pass out type of high.
Well, I mean, then don't sniff glue. I mean, what are you, my mom?
All right. Very good. We will talk more about this. There is much more to cover. The ghost of Fred's burp was actually right about something yesterday. He was correct. He called in about the Bubba Wallace thing and was correct. I don't know how, but he was. And there is much more to discuss, so we will be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What's up? Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I've talked to a lot of people about this, Scott, and they're really excited about 60 games as opposed to 162 games. I can't tell you that I share that belief.
Understood.
I think 162 is the only way to go. However, with our attention span today, especially with our young people, they need excitement all the time. And 60 games, mad dash to the finish, every game matters. And in baseball, Scott, you know this, a bad team can go into Yankee Stadium and win 3 games in a row. That can't happen in the NBA, but it can in baseball. That's what's so exciting about this is your team, you say, well, we can't last 162, but we might be able to do something in 60 games, and that's got some people excited.
He is the greatest.
The grandchildren are going to be all excited about this new sport, the sprint of baseball. Think about the young Warriors out there competing every single day, but they only have to do it for a couple of months.
I was about to say, that sounded like the John Wallach impression of Tim Kurchin as he was talking.
That is a man that is happy that he's going to cover the game. I mean,
can't wait to see the crack of the bat and smell the glove that I buried under my mattress to make it loose.
Very tough to do. First baseman's been. You ever try to break one of those
in? Needs foot soil. Really works. It works the trick, Fred. That's the way to do it.
I tried to break in my son's first baseman's minute. I had to take it to a place, and the guy just fired 90-mile-an-hour things off the jump machine.
Oh, yeah,
and just didn't to catch it.
One way
forever.
To do it is, you know, wrap a couple of baseballs up in the glove. You wrap a big rubber band around the glove with a couple of baseballs in it. That usually does the trick.
It didn't work for the first baseman's glove.
Oh, that's too
bad. I put it under the couch. It didn't work, but that
did you
is
run it a, over with a car. Yeah. Did you go back and forth, throw that sucker over?
That's not a bad idea, but it did not work.
You know, back in the 1870s, Cap Anson used to have a horse and buggy just drive right over his glove.
Kurtz is just going to be out of his mind with baseball cards. It's really going to be
fun
to watch.
He's out of his mind already. I mean, it's just the anticipation of the game that's got him so
crazy. Is it opening day yet? I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Well, yeah, opening day is right around the corner. It looks like we got, June 1st, or July 1st? That is when camps open, and then July 24th, I think, is when things officially start. But, I mean, there's all sorts of weird things that are getting thrown out. Dates, as I said, are finally being set, including a trade deadline. That's going to be in August 31st. And the COVID-19 stuff's interesting because for players that become infected with it, there is going to be a coronavirus-specific inactive list that will be placed on if and when they test positive or show symptoms. There's going to be no set amount of time for the player to sit out. Like, the NBA has 10 days that they have to sit out, and then they have to test positive, I think, twice until they're allowed back. That doesn't seem to be the case here. It's just, I believe, once you test positive a couple times, you're allowed back in. And one of the weirder things that we learned yesterday was that Nashville
will host two teams of unsigned players, almost like a universal bullpen, who will be paid to just remain in shape as potential replacement players should the need arise during the season. So teams would then have to go pick them up and then pay to add these players.
Well, why would you do that? I mean, you have 60 players to choose from on your roster. You're inviting, each team can invite 60 players to camp and start with a 30-man roster. If you burn through all of your possibilities, I dare say you have no shot. I mean, it would take a coronavirus wave of massive proportions to wipe out 60 players.
I don't mind them being, like, super-duper ready to go. And you know what? It gives these guys a potential paycheck, which is kind of nice, who are, you know, sitting in Nashville just, dude, stay ready. Stay ready. And I don't know if it's from the 30 that don't end up making that, because you said you're right. 60 are invited to camp, 30 ultimately when the
which
season starts.
Which is going to make the games cruise, too, when you have a 30-man roster.
Well, no, you lose two players after the first 2 weeks. You lose another two players after the next 2 weeks.
I understand, but I mean, you're just, how many lefty specialists can you get in?
Oh, plenty.
I mean, you're going
to. LaRusso would be psyched to manage in this era.
And then maybe he bets his pitcher eighth. Which is another reason why the not having
damn
a DH
it,
is better.
Right into that one. God.
Maybe that's another reason the DH isn't a good
right
idea.
Right into it.
Ugh. Well, do they end up just getting thrown into the Nash pile then? Like those guys who ended up getting kicked off? Are they? Because can any other team all of a sudden take them out of the stockpile that's going to be ready?
I don't know. This is federal stockpiles and local stockpiles. I found that just
randomly out of nowhere. I'm like, well, I haven't heard of this before until yesterday.
No,
well, here's another.
Yeah, if you have, Wallach's right, if you have a coronavirus that wipes out.
I don't think getting a player from a team in Nashville is going to help your cause if you lose 30 players to the coronavirus.
Unless your cause is just to have a game.
Well, that's true,
just to
too.
Finish
well,
a game.
In
too.
Fairness, if all 30 people get the coronavirus, then you have your team in 2 weeks. I mean, then they're back.
There you go.
Come hell or high water.
Right.
Until then, you got Keanu Reeves and John Favreau and the replacements in there.
Right.
Just doing their best. By the way, this is interesting, too. Passan mentioned this. About a little extra thing they've thrown in there.
Wet rag. There's a wet rag that pitchers are going to carry around in their pockets in lieu of, you know, going like that and getting a little bit of moisture on their fingers to go to the ball. You are not allowed to lick your fingers on a baseball field anymore. And they are taking extreme and excessive lengths. And baseball is going to look different if it gets back on the field. We've got all the money stuff taken care of. Now there's the question, of course, is the virus going to let games be played this year?
Wet rag to that. Springsteen just said, you can borrow mine. I'm working class.
Yeah, and then he's going to go, look at this rump. I'm going to put it on the cover of my album. Getting pitchers not to lick their fingers is going to be impossible.
Is there going to be a buzzer that goes off?
I know. All of this is impossible. If I've pitched my entire life, I'm 30, and I've pitched this entire time, and I've licked my fingers, how are you going to make, I don't know. Maybe what do you do? It's an automatic walk?
I don't know.
On the mound, it just shoots them up into the sky.
I think it's more egregious. I mean, if you have a pitcher, like, egregiously doing it, then you can. But, I mean, look.
They all lick their fingers.
Honestly, they have, like, remember the bullfrog on the wrist? I mean, there are hundreds of ways to do this. I honest to God, they can't stop it. I'm with Fred on this.
I mean, even when and it's funny because I'm just bringing myself up because I'm a loser that just does you things, but I spit on my hand to work the ball. I mean, but then again, we don't have that crap that they put on the balls in the major league. But, I mean, I spit on my hand in basketball.
Well, so do a lot of players. I mean, they lick their fingers. I mean, you've seen that before.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, as I said, I don't know what the punishment for doing that is, but they're giving them wet rags. They can look like blue-collar guys working down at the refinery.
Well, it's an automatic spitball. So I can just a wet rag, and I can just,
I don't think you put the ball in the wet rag. You just to moisten your fingers. I don't think that gives you the appropriate grip that you're talking about.
Well, I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, if you lick your fingers, then all hell's going to break loose.
Speaking of guys like Jeff Passan, reporters must leave the ballpark within 1 hour upon conclusion of post-game interviews, so no creepily hanging around the towel rack beyond your welcome anymore.
We're going to talk to Roach, and he's going to be no fan of that.
Back in my day, we hung around the spittoons in the lobby.
you hit inside of them to get all the good juicy, no pun intended, juicy stuff.
There was just a trough where the men would relieve themselves, and that was the place where information was traded.
Well, one concern that was also addressed was, what happens if a player tests positive away from their home city?
What happens if I test positive on the road? Do I just get to, like, hang out at the Four Seasons in this road city for a week and hang out and order room service? And, yeah, I think that's pretty much the answer. You know, the NBA and the NHL, if and when they do come back, have those questions taken care of, being in a bubble. Major League Baseball is going to be traveling. There are going to be bus trips. There are going to be plane trips. There are going to be hotel stays. There are going to be all these different elements that are going to be difficult to contain. And when you look at some of the outbreaks, you know, the Philadelphia Phillies, 7 players, 5 staff members testing positive. Colorado Rockies, 3 players today testing positive over the recent days. It's very interesting to note that Major League Baseball has not laid out exactly what the breaking point is going to be.
Yes.
Baseball writers do hit a certain octave.
Oh, they're so excited.
Someone gets Sean McAdam on the phone. I want to see
the first notes here that comes out of Passan's mouth.
What happens if I test positive on the road?
It's just they can't hide it.
Oh, my God.
They are so excited.
Well, I've talked to a lot of people about this, Scott. And
wet rag. There's a wet rag.
Thank you. We should just compile.
I was in Germany and saw a movie called Wet Rag.
Did you really? Oh yes. I just wonder. We need to just compile audio of baseball reporters who can't contain their excitement.
Yeah, I mean that's passing. It's like Rage just came out with a new record.
What happens if I test positive on the road?
That's right.
He's like he loves. Oh, there's just almost a triple play right there in Korean baseball.
You're still on that trip. I've watched it like for a week, and then I was done.
I'm not watching it. Yeah, it's just one moment. It's
not something I would have on if I was at home, but it's on here.
We will see at 7:20 whether or not Dan Roach's voice hits strange octaves that it hasn't hit.
Well, he sent Dan. So Dan like texted him at a reasonable hour, and then Dan
in daylight, like at 5 o'clock. Sorry.
And then Dan like late at night just started texting him. And texted like he could do it, and then texted a GIF or whatever the hell it is.
Multiple
GIF. And so Dan's like trying to sleep, and his phone just keeps going and going and going, and it's all Dan Roach spazzing out.
What happens
these...
if I test positive on the road?
That's right. Thank you very much.
Wet rag. There's a wet rag.
That's right. You can't let them spit on their hands. I'll tell you that. Lick their fingers.
When we get back, we'll just a couple quick – I don't know if it's quick, but these are interesting things going on with the NBA as well. You had a first actual championship team player say that he ain't playing because of all of this. And then we'll get to the Bubba Wilson stuff, rather, and it is just Wallace. It is fascinating what went on yesterday, and what a strange 48 hours for NASCAR.
All right, we will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich. Put your dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, what band is this?
Is this Tommy and Paula?
What's Tommy and Paula?
I don't know. Ask him.
Yeah, it is. Nick. Yeah, okay. We would ask Nick because he's so hip with this music, but this thing drives me insane.
Yeah, this is not good.
Snap those fingers.
Where's that part?
Here it comes, Rich. Ready?
It just sounds like a bad arena. Like, it just sounds like something that plays while nothing's happening.
No, something like a bad introduction sequence. Yeah. At guard, you know, that kind of thing.
All right.
Yeah, it does kind of sound like a fairly lame, like, arena thing. Here we go, guys!
It's no final countdown. If you were a Pistons fan in the late 80s, early 90s, you got yourself the Final Countdown during introductions.
Yeah.
Which never got annoying. There's nothing like Europe's Final Countdown.
Well, that's a song that after the first, like, 45 seconds just peters out.
Well, you've heard it. I mean, well, after the first 45 seconds, like, you've heard all they got.
Right. And it's just like, now we got to sing.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, it's not going anywhere.
No, no. Great intro. Horrible rest of the song. Well, today was the soft date for NBA players to inform the league whether or not they would opt out of the upcoming postseason set to take place next month over in Disney World. Well, now we have our first fairly major player on a championship contender to announce that he's staying home. Avery Bradley has informed the league that he will not be with the Lakers as they attempt to win a championship this year, citing family health reasons. Here is Adrian Wojnarowski, Mr. Woj.
I talked to Avery Bradley tonight, his wife Ashley, and this was a decision made really on behalf of their children. They have three children, but a six-year-old son who has a history of respiratory issues and illness, and they didn't believe he would be cleared medically to be able to go in the bubble. Avery Bradley worried about leaving and bringing something into his home coming out of the
bubble. Now that's a pretty big deal, because Bradley started 44 games for the Lakers this season. He played about 25 minutes a game. His last month was really good. As a matter of fact, before the season imploded, that final several weeks was the best he had played all year. Now, he might not have been a main piece, but he was a pretty damn important
starter. He's a starter.
He's at 44 games.
Very legitimate reason.
Now, do you know who that opens up the door for the Lakers?
This is the best part of all of it, and that is that J.R. Smith apparently is the one that they're looking at. A man who loves big butts, can't lie. Wallach of the NBA with the love of large rear ends.
I wonder if, like, they have a rule that you can come in only if you have a big ass. Like, J.R. Smith's like, what's your list? Just look at that ass.
Just looking at that ass.
If the ass is 24. I don't know.
Well, all I know is that
18, 100.
Magic Johnson said it best, however, last night when he tweeted, "The Lakers losing Avery Bradley is a tough loss and will make it more difficult for them to win the NBA championship."
Well, that is keen insight from a man who's
one more quick NBA thing. You remember the last time J.R. Smith and LeBron James saw each other?
Oh, dude, it's the best. Like, that's the how amazing would it be
if I'm LeBron, I forgot how much time is on the clock. Game one of the NBA finals. I mean, that's the last time those two guys played together. If I'm LeBron, I'm like, hell no, I don't want that guy on my team.
Oh, he helped him win a J.R. Smith, say what you will, he's an assassin. He's one of the best three-point shooters that this league has had.
Who is without a job. All I'm saying is LeBron, I'm sure the first thing LeBron thinks of when management tells him, we're thinking of bringing J.R. Smith in, is not that he's an assassin, is that he cost him a game in the NBA Finals.
I wonder if he was eating a Sunday off of a woman's rear end.
He was thinking about it.
All that happened.
His agent calls, he's like, what? I'm eating a Sunday off this girl's ass.
So now Dwight Howard has to sit out, right? Like, after teasing he was going to do it, even though it's for different reasons, him and Avery Bradley, it's still someone on his own team sitting out. So now he'd look pretty awful if he, like, said he was going to and doesn't, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, if you're going to talk about it, you got to do it. Absolutely. Now, Avery Bradley has two. I was going to say good for Avery Bradley even before I knew about his son.
Yeah.
But, I mean, good for him. I mean, he said it and he backed it up.
Same thing in baseball. That guy Blake Snell. Don't pitch. Don't pitch. Now you have a season. You told us you were risking your life. Don't pitch.
Yep.
You see, here's the weird thing. The Avery Bradley one is what I've been thinking about with the NFL season as well. Is, you know, there may be players that don't have any kind of injuries that we know of that would keep them from playing during all this, during the pandemic. But what about their family members? We don't know everything that's going on with everyone and everyone's family. So I'm starting to wonder. We've talked about David Andrews and guys like Marcus Cannon. Yeah. Right. We know about them, but we may not know about the family members of a lot of these guys.
Absolutely.
And I wonder how many star players are going to sit out just because of that.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine, I would imagine that there's going to be more than a handful. Yeah. I mean, if I had a kid with a
J.R. Smith, speaking of him, you know, listen.
More than a handful. I mean, He's talking about, he's just talking about bubble butts, two basketballs. Sometimes J.R. Smith gets lost, and he just carries two basketballs around and gets lost in them. But yeah, I mean, if I had a, if I was in your situation, Rich, where I had someone in my family that had a compromised immunity, or if I was someone who had, you know, anything like that, yeah, I wouldn't play.
And the other thing that is so wild about all this is, you know, that like LeBron James is like, that's, it's got to kill him. I mean, he is, if there's anyone right now, he has to win a championship this year, because I mean, I know that everyone's been saying this. This is truly the first year you could say that the window might be closing a little bit on LeBron to be able to get this team together, because word is that Anthony Davis, this isn't going, definitely going to happen, but there's a lot of talk about Anthony Davis going and possibly playing for Chicago. And if he doesn't have Anthony Davis, the Lakers aren't quite what they are now. I mean, he's been unreal together with LeBron James. So that's just another kind. This is, as I said, the wackiest postseason you can ever imagine is going to happen starting in about a month. And here's the first domino. Now, it's going to be, someone was joking yesterday that almost like it's the trade deadline, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski is just going to start tweeting out names of people who aren't going to be playing this postseason. That date of today, they said, is like a soft date. And I believe all the way up till, John, is it this weekend they're saying that you can officially opt out if you don't want to play
here? I thought it was July 1,
here.
But I mean, either way, it's within the next week. That you basically have to say, no, I'm not.
Dwight Howard better not play. I'll tell you that.
Right.
He better not play, or he's completely full of crap. Mm-hmm. Completely full of crap.
Yeah, that's the problem. You can talk a lot of nonsense, but there comes a time where you have to back it up.
Yeah.
You know, he was on the front lines, man. We're making a statement. We're making a statement by not going. That's the reason.
And then he looks around and no one else is making the statement.
Now it's time. Okay. Are you or aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's your time. All right. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.